This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Futuro.
This is Latino USA, the radio journal of news and cultura.
It's Latino USA.
It's Latino
Welcome
USA.
To Latino USA.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. We bring you stories that are underreported, but that matter to you.
Overlooked by the rest of the media.
And while the country is struggling to deal with these
problems, we listen to the stories of Black and Latino students.
A united Latino front.
A cultural renaissance.
Organizing at the forefront of the movement.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. No se vayan.
Hey, 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 ¿qué pasó? Latino USA is celebrating 30 years, 30 años, and we would love to hear from you, dear listener. Do you want to share with us exactly what Latino USA has meant to you? Do you have a birthday wish for us? Leave us a voicemail at 646-571-1224. That's 646-571-1224. And we might feature your message in an upcoming show. Gracias. From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, madre e hijo, mother and son chefs, Zarela Martinez and Aaron Sanchez, reflect on their careers and their relationship. Chefs Zarela Martinez and Aaron Sanchez have each had long and successful careers. But recently, this mother and son duo decided to join forces.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Cooking in Mexican from A to Z. I'm your host, Aaron Sanchez, alongside my beautiful mother,
Zarela Martinez.
Wonderful. Today, we're going to be talking about edible bugs in Mexico.
In their podcast, Cooking in Mexican from A to Z, Aaron and Zarela share recipes and talk about the ingredients that make up different Mexican dishes, like vainilla, tomatillos, and chiles verdes.
My mom is, without a doubt, undisputably the queen of Mexican food.
The goddess.
Zarela's and Aaron's love of Mexican food and their desire to educate people about it is actually a family tradition. Zarela grew up along the U.S.-Mexico border in Agua Prieta, Sonora, spending time in the kitchen with her mom, Mema, who was also a well-known Mexican cook.
We have the unique distinction of being three generations of cookbook authors, which I think is really amazing.
Aaron was born in El Paso. He grew up in New York City with his mom and twin brother, Rodrigo. When Zarela arrived in New York and decided to open her own restaurant called Zarela's, it was a huge deal. Not only for Mexicans like me who had been looking for authentic Mexican food for a long time, but for everybody. And Zarela's restaurant was like the place to be seen. And also, if you were lucky like I was, you'd get invited to Zarela's private dinner parties where there'd be like 75 people eating with food that she was cooking herself. What Zarela did in New York City was basically bring Mexican food into the mainstream of New York City. And so she got a lot of attention, which led to cookbook deals and TV shows on PBS like Zarela's Veracruz.
Just what is a sacahuil? It's a gigantic tamal. There are
two main... And her son, Aaron, was witnessing all of this food culture, so he followed in his mom's footsteps. He opened a pan-Latin American restaurant, and eventually he was on TV shows like MasterChef, Chopped, and Taco Trip. Now, over three decades since Zarela opened her eponymous restaurant, there has been an explosion of Mexican food all over New York City. I mean, it says a lot that when I first got to New York in 1979, there were no tortillas that you could buy in this city, essentially. And now this many decades later, You have people who are specializing in particular kinds of Mexican cuisine, but you've also got Mexican street food, barrio food. It has changed the culinary landscape of this city forever. Sarela is 75 years old now, but is no longer running a restaurant. But she keeps busy developing recipes and working on other projects. Meanwhile, 47-year-old Aaron is still working in the restaurant industry. So today, they get on a call, Sarela from her bustling New York City apartment and Aaron from his home in New Orleans. They're going to talk about the early years in New York City and how they're navigating Sarela's Parkinson's. Here are Sarela Martinez and Aaron Sanchez in conversation.
Hey, Mom, good to see you. I love you. I miss you. I think about you every day. I'm happy that you had a good time in Los Angeles. I'm back in New Orleans. I was away for work this weekend, so I'm excited to see you.
It's good to see you, baby. You get to work in places like the Bahamas.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't happen easy, you know? Everyone thinks it's paradise. But me tenían en chinga, like they say, but all good.
Well, we were always the cooking family. First, it was in the ranch in Chihuahua where I grew up. And my mother used to cook for all the cowboys and all the family and all the cousins that went to visit all the time. So we were a totally food-focused family, and we continue to be that.
Yeah, but also, Mom, talk about a little bit how revolutionary and pioneering Mema was. She would bring all those ingredients that were very foreign. You guys would do like Chinese food on the ranch, right, Mom? You would do very different things, right?
We did. She always wanted to write a book. And it's only recently that I started to understand just how innovative she was. Because, you know, let's say I made a picadillo recipe. And she always added a little something to make it a more depth. So for instance, she would toast some flour. And that would give it a nutty flavor. So even though she was doing a lot of the traditional Sonora food, there was always her little trick. You know, in the north of Mexico, it's totally separate from the rest of Mexico. So what I grew up in was Sonoran food. Sonoran food plus international, continental things like rabbit provençal and that Chinese food and all those things my mom used to make. But the thing is that when I opened Café Marimba, which was my first restaurant, I realized that I didn't know anything about Mexican food. My mom was great. She was the most generous person that you can imagine. And she took me and my friend Lori on this trip to Oaxaca, Chiapas, Yucatan, Veracruz. And that's what I really learned about Mexican food. That was not till 85. Mm-hmm. And then I became passionate about it.
Yeah.
That I said, this has got to be known in the United States. And that's how I found my mission.
It was so traditional and non-traditional, the way we grew up, you know? It was amazing. My mom has always been somebody that's cutting edge, a pioneer, does not subscribe to the norm, you know, and always surrounded us with really eclectic and quirky people from New York that really molded a lot of our worldliness. And then we would also have our traditional side of our family in Mexico. And so we kind of grew up with this beautiful balance of both of that.
But, you know, it was just so fabulous. Remember when I used to go out a lot? The kids would go away. We all went away in the summer. It was just the best. And we also, all the parties we used to have.
Yeah. The parties were the big thing because it was like this beautiful collage of not just your boyfriend's mom, but also like really awesome guests that were from all different walks.
Yeah.
And inevitably would have a couple minutes to talk to me and my brother, Rodrigo, and kind of inform us on what was up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You would perform.
Well, I remember. And we came with minimal resources to New York City.
But lots of connections.
Yeah. My mom chased her dream.
When I got here, I came in here right at the top. I never felt discriminated against. I was totally accepted because nobody was doing the kind of food that I was doing, you know, at that point, which was really home-style food. And people were just shocked to have these flavors. people wrote things like Mexican food of incredible finesse, or my food was like discovering colors.
Yeah, but also you were part of the renaissance of American regional cuisine.
Exactly.
That's when Paul Prudhomme and Alice Waters and all of these pioneers started to break down the regions of this country and say, look, we have our own identities. We have a group of ingredients and immigrants that live here that inform the way that we cook in these particular regions. It's a very interesting time in American food history, you know, and then because of that, she was this bright example for me. And it was very important for me early on to distinguish myself from her.
I told Sonaro, you have to create your own style, mm-hmm. you know, because you don't want to be imitating me, because I was, you know, I was doing very traditional food at that time. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be cutting edge, which is really a very interesting thing, because Aaron and I have been talking a lot lately about how all these young chefs want to recapture the 90s. Mm-hmm. See, my chefs my age want to recapture the 80s. Because I got here in 83, and that was just about the time when the restaurant business was starting to bud. You know, Jonathan Waxman had come to town. Larry Poggioni was starting. Drew Nippon had his fabulous restaurant. Everybody was coming up at that time. So for me to be able to come in and do like a new Mexican restaurant, and people were spending a lot of money, and it was just like a dream come true.
Mom, you know, you were very, very hard on me early on. Well, I see the problem is I started way too early. I look back now, and I'm like, wow. I could have done with a couple more years under some other chefs probably, and, you know, learn a little bit more of the business side. I had good ideas. I think that was kind of what people were attracted to about me. And then obviously
And your look.
And my looks, yeah. And also, I come from restaurant royalty, you know what I mean? So I got a lot of opportunity really early.
But that was really hard on you, because remember when you started going to all those clubs at night when you were 14 and 15?
Mm-hmm.
I had that. You had to be home by 12.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't get there. And I would throw a pillow to the stairway and a blanket. And I would say, you're going to say, come on, Mom, let me know. Until he learned.
Yeah. I was very realistic, you know, growing up. I understood what was what. And so every time I would make a bad decision, like we'd be in Central Park or we'd be with our friends and maybe smoking some weed or something, and I'd be like, I've already missed curfew, so let's have a good time because I'm going to be sleeping on the landing this evening. I want to be on the landing. So at least, you know, I was always like...
You were impossible. So difficult. I used to cry. So I had a bright idea of calling Paul Prudhomme, who had discovered me. And I said, you take this kid or I'm going to kill him. And so Paul very kindly took you for 2 summers.
Yep.
And that was really your formation.
As soon as I got in there, I was like, oh, this is something different. Like, it was a kick in the ass in the best of ways when I need it. I think Paladar, I made some mistakes early on.
But that was a classic.
Yeah. But then when I opened Paladar, I think that's really when I got into my stride. We were a very busy restaurant and everybody wanted to come to our place. And just like my mom's restaurant too. Like, Mom, you know, your restaurant was always packed up. And I took cash for the first 5 years of my restaurant. It's, you know, it's funny because you think about it now, right, Mom? You're thinking, damn, all I know is busy restaurants.
Yeah.
Like our restaurants, of course, are going to be busy because we're that good. I've never known one of my places or our restaurants as a family to not be busy. It's just something that we've always expected. You know, now that I mentor young people, it's funny and ironic because I'm like, when young people act out like that, they're asking for help. They want to be listened to. And that's what I was doing. I was acting ostentatious and I was rebelling because I wanted somebody to hear me. So that's a big part of it as well. Mom, you never pressured us to go into this business or actually tell us anything to do. You just said, you're going to find what you want in life and then I'll be there to support you.
I wanted you to be independent and have your own mind. You know, I didn't want to be pushing you in any way that you might not be happy.
Yeah. But then also, Mom, that creates another kind of challenge where it's we're so independent, we're not always there for Sunday dinners.
Well, you weren't, but everybody else was.
I was always the more incorrigible one, as you know that. You know, incorrigible is a good word.
Remember how we used to separate the duties? You know, I always made the entrees. And because you always got there late, you had to make the vegetables.
Yes, ma'am. I remember the first time I got to carve a turkey. I thought my ship had come in. This is amazing. I'm a big man now.
Yeah. Now I remember when we did the sucking pig, remember?
Yeah, I remember doing that. And we cooked a lot of things that were not necessarily traditional, you know? People want to say, oh, did you guys make tamales during Christmas? And we're like, well, not really.
Yeah.
We did other things. And that just shows how neat growing up in New York City was, right, Mom? You're influenced by so many different people and their backgrounds, and it kind of informs the way you cook. And I love that.
Remember how we also went out to restaurants all the time with the family?
Yeah, that
it was hysterical the way you would freak out because you knew that it was going to be difficult.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you still are. My mom would sit there, and then if anything went wrong, like if they poured her too much wine in her glass, she would have like a conniption, like a fit. And then she would inevitably say, you know, I have a restaurant. Have you heard of it? And then all of us kids would be like cowering, be like, oh, here she goes. Here she goes reprimanding this poor gentleman.
No, but you know, I wanted things to come out in a certain, I wanted things to come out in a certain order to get the palate
yes,
there.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And they still remember. They still remember. They're still going to have the, what is it, tiradito first?
Tiradito with yellowtail and jalapeno and all that. Yeah, I remember. Trust me, we were there so embarrassed. So we really appreciate that, Mom. Thanks for that.
Well, we went to a lot of places.
Yeah, yeah. It was nice. And I think that really helped me personally, Mom, to understand why it's important to where I'm at now. Because in New Orleans, we still have a lot of that traditional restaurants. I mean, we have restaurants, many that are over 200 years old here, which is very unique, you know? So there's a certain amount of decorum and steps of service that need to be adhered to and all that, so.
You're lucky to be there.
That's a big part of why I love living here, you know?
Yeah. I've been thinking about it. Maybe it would be fun to end my life there.
Okay, Mom, don't be so morbid about it, but I'm just saying. We'd love to have you down here. You always tell me, you're like, I don't know anybody down there. I don't have any set of friends. You'll make friends, trust me. Everyone here is very open to help everybody.
I would do it exactly the same way I did then. I would invite a few core friends, and then they would ask me what she would bring. And then I would say, bring me somebody who I would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely single actor men.
Men.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, Mom. Thanks, Mom. We'll get you a boyfriend. Yeah, yeah. We'll get you some gallant man.
Coming up on Latino USA, mother and son, madre and hijo. Sarela Martinez and Aaron Sanchez talk about their identities and their legacies as chefs of Mexican cuisine. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable, all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Odoo, modern management made simple. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
Latino USA, buenos dias. I'm Ricardo Arocha, calling in from Fairfield, Connecticut. I was born in Venezuela, but raised here. My first time was probably around 2011. I was a bachelor, had just moved to Connecticut. I can picture myself in my room doing chores and listening to Latino USA. I just remember that moment feeling like, yes, this is awesome. I found something that I'm going to be listening to regularly. And I am reflecting on this as I hold my newborn baby girl. The work you do is so, so good. So important, so enriching. Okay, bendiciones. Bye.
Hey, we're back. And before the break, we heard from award-winning chefs Sarela Martinez and Aaron Sanchez about how they made it in New York City. Now, the mother and son duo reflect on their podcast collaboration and how they've supported each other through Sarela's Parkinson's diagnosis. Here are Sarela Martinez and Aaron Sanchez once again.
I think when it comes to our podcast, my mom wants to tell stories and anecdotes and have the authenticity behind it. And I kind of facilitate it and ask questions and learn along the way, too.
When we closed the restaurant, I freaked out because I didn't feel like I need to be relevant.
I told you,
and I said I wanted to do this podcast. And you were so nice to accept it and, you know, started doing this the podcast, which is right now what I most enjoy doing professionally. So, I love it. I love it because I can share all the knowledge that I had, that I've learned. I was thinking, what am I going to do without this an avenue to, you know, to share
with? Express yourself. No, I got you.
It's just a fascinating time to be in cooking in Mexico and learning about Mexican food, which is one of the reasons that the podcast is so popular.
Yeah.
Because we cover these ingredients and these techniques, and it's so, so interesting. You know, why especially? Because Mexico is really retaking its traditional food.
Something that was like a huge revelation recently in one of my trips was we went to Tlaxcala, what they call it, Tlaxcala down there, which is near Mexico City, and it has all the volcanoes around it. And we were there and we cooked with a señora and the doña, and it's unbelievable because now these women are known in these neighborhoods for being the best cook in the neighborhood. So they'll do like block parties and sort of small gatherings, and everybody in the surrounding area knows you got to go over there and get her tamale de olla or whatever it is. And it's really cool. They're like little celebrities within their neighborhoods.
And everybody's taking a lot of the traditions back. You know, cocina de humo and native corn.
Yeah.
People are cooking with insects. People are cooking with all sorts of greens. So it's changed the whole panorama of Mexican food. It's really interesting.
Yeah. I think through the podcast, what it does for me, it reaffirms what I've always known, you being this unbelievable resource of knowledge and legacy and all those good things. I already knew that, but now I understand where I get my interest level to learn all the time. You know, it's from my mom.
I could not do it without you because I'm always amazed at how much you've learned and can contribute to the different ingredients and how funny you are. As a levity, that's a lot of fun and welcome to a podcast.
Yeah.
It's what I love about it is the way you and I interact. You know, it's just, you're so polite and everything and so sweet to me and I'm sweet to you. I've gotten to learn how professional and how good you are at your job. I mean, you're magnificent in keeping the conversation flowing and keeping me on subject. So it is a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I agree. Right now, we're living in a time where people of not Mexican descent are taking full advantage of opening restaurants and doing their thing. And, you know, the question is, are you studied enough? Have you spent the time to understand not just the technique, but also to understand the cultural relevance behind it, which is super important.
Yeah.
It, you know, are the influences coming from Spain? That's why the debate comes. Do you want to be known as Hispanic? Because you're kind of acknowledging the conquista, you know, like, so how we're labeled as Latinos is unique right now, how people want to be defined.
See, the thing is that people are always saying that there's a certain kind of Mexican.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many discussions I've had in bars where people will say, you're not Mexican. Yes, I am. I was born and raised in Mexico from a long-lived, you know, family tradition. I am Mexican. And people don't believe me because people are barely now starting to understand that there are different kinds of Mexicans.
You just have to be worldly and open-minded when you're saying things like, what does a Mexican look like? Well, I don't know. Tell me.
Yeah. I now describe myself as an American Mexican.
I identify as a Mexican American, and I'm excited about that. And I prefer to speak Spanish, to be very honest. I feel more at home when I'm talking in Spanish. It was very important for me to keep my language because, you know, there's a saying, cuando pierdes tu lengua, pierdes tu patria, you know? When you lose your tongue, you lose your country. So I just always wanted to make sure that I kept that connection. You know, I remember my mom was really smart about sending me with my tia Carmela and my primos and all that to Mexico to make sure that I kept that connection. So if you want to talk about a bicultural upbringing, we had that for sure. And my mom raised us Mexican with those values.
And the manners.
And manners and not to complain and all those kind of things.
And I used to tell the kids, I said, don't tell me what you want. Do you think I want to hear? Mm-hmm. Tell me what you really mean.
I just think we're living in an interesting time where Latinos, first generation kids now are coming back to roots. The millennials are like, wow, it's cool to be Latino and it's cool to represent. It wasn't necessarily the case when my mom got, when we got here. I remember I went to junior high school in Harlem. It was all Dominican and Puerto Rican kids. There was very few Mexicans when I went to school there. And it was, you know, I was one of the few. And it was, so it was a whole different vibe, you know what I mean? And try to hold on to that.
Well, I never had that problem.
I know you did.
I always felt Mexican. I had no identity crisis.
No, I did too. I knew I was Mexican. It just was like, I'm talking about the just the ratio of the time in New York.
Yeah.
It was different. Where now New York is very Mexican.
Yeah.
You know, before it wasn't necessarily like that. Now you go to Queens and Brooklyn, and they call it Puebla York because there's so many people from Puebla. You know what I mean?
And Majatitlan.
Majatitlan too. They have a direct flight from JFK to Puebla, just to put it in perspective. So I think the future is bright.
And a lot of the chefs of hot restaurants are women.
Yep, as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a very exciting time.
It's my job to make sure my mom has everything she needs. I've been asking her to move to New Orleans for years now. I've been here in what? I think 9 years now? 8 years? Somewhere like that. So I'm blessed in the sense that I have the resources to be able to help my mom and make sure she's always taken care of. That's my job as a son. You have to understand, it's just when you have Parkinson's, you're all there and you just might shake a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Or you might move around a lot. But it's not like my mom's faculties are gone.
People need to understand that I've had Parkinson's since 1987. I did my entire career with this disgusting disease. And I have managed to have a fulfilling, successful life with a beautiful family, wonderful friends, and a great quality of life. It's tough. I'm always trying to find new ways of dealing with this merciless condition. The kids are very supportive, but I try not to bother them too much. Aaron is very good with financially helping me because it's a very expensive disease. You need to have caretakers and you need to have assistance here just to get around and all sorts of things that are not covered by insurance. It's, to tell you the truth, it's very tough.
When you're dealing with something like Parkinson's and see your mom, you just have to, you know, be supportive and be there. And she's like, never makes any excuses and never complains. You know, mom, and always there. Like strong.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. It's not an easy condition, let's put it that way. But I will be okay.
Absolutely. Of course, we all know that. I'm sorry.
Don't be sad.
I'm not sad, Mom. I just want you the best all the time. Be happy.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy.
I know you are.
I choose to be happy.
Indeed. It's not easy. You know, I mean, look at Michael J. Fox. I mean, look at Montel Williams. Like, I mean, you can go down the list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not something that's uncommon, and living very fruitful lives. And,
you know, if life hands you lemons, make a margarita.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Obviously, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And
vice versa.
Well, you kind of gave birth to me, though. But so that's a little different. Yeah. But, you know, the idea of everything that I've done is a huge portion because of you. And I told you, like, this weekend, I was in the Bahamas doing a food and wine festival. And people were stopping me. And they were like, man, I can tell you the Cervella menu front to back. One of the women that I work with grew up in New York City, kind of the same around time. She goes, I would go away to like camp and come back and beg my mom to take me to have the mole enchiladas. Yeah. Enchiladas. And that food, and people still talk about it all the time. I get stopped all the time, mom. I think it's just bizarre to me. I know inevitably when I travel, somebody from the kitchen will come out, you know, somebody of Latin descent will come to me and say, man, you're our guy and your mom's awesome. You're so fortunate. So that's a responsibility that one carries. And when you hear stuff like that, you always worry about your legacy and being remembered. And I'm telling you, mom, you're never going to be forgotten.
Well, you know, when I decided to move to New York in 1983, I made a life plan. I said, I'm going to move to New York. I'm going to open a restaurant. I'm going to write a book covered in three. I'm going to have a series, PBS series. I'm going to have a line of products, and I did have one at Walmart. And then I'm going to leave a legacy. And when Harvard bought my papers for the Schlesinger Library, I felt that I had finished my job. I didn't know that I was going to have all this opportunities to do the podcast and other things. But the thing is that all my research material, all the recipes that everybody gave me, or film, everything, is at the Schlesinger Library, and I feel that's my legacy.
And how about me and Rodrigo?
Well, you know, I said that before.
I know, I'm just joking. But that's important. They say in Buddhism that your children should supersede all of your accomplishments because you've been that good of an example as a parent.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'll be able to do that with my mom, but I'm going to get close. I'm going to get close. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Well, you have a good start.
Okay, Mama, you know me. It's already time to get to the restaurant, okay? Because I don't want to hear you give me any BS that I'm not at my place all the time. So I'm going to get off for a little bit.
Okay.
But I just want to say I love you and I miss you. And I can't wait to see you shortly. I know that we have a visit planned soon. Te quiero mucho. I love you.
Yo también. Love you, baby. And that I'm so proud of you.
That was Chef Zarela Martinez in conversation with her son, Chef Aaron Sanchez. This episode was produced by Elizabeth Lowenthal Torres and edited by Daisy Contreras. It was mixed by Julia Caruso. The Latino USA team includes Andrea Lopez Cruzado, Mike Sargent, Marta Martinez, Victoria Estrada, Reinaldo Leaños Jr., and Patricia Zulbarán. Our editorial director is Fernanda Santos. Our director of engineering is Stephanie LeBeau. Our associate engineers are Gabriela Baez and JJ Carubin. Our marketing manager is Luis Luna. Special thanks this week to Cooking in Mexican from A to Z, produced by Heritage Radio Network. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on social media and acuérdate, no te vayas. Hasta la próxima. Bye.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org. The Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
I used to steal my weed.
Yes, mom. Yes, mom. Thanks.